I say, can you dig it? Put your two hands up like that.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Can You Dig It, a podcast by SilverStringEnroll.com. I'm Christian Rios, joined by Jacob Rude. Jacob, preseason basketball is officially done. We are just days away from the Lakers' regular season opener on December 22nd, 2 days before their Christmas Day matchup with the Dallas Mavericks. As far as Christmas shopping goes and all of that, how does that go for you? Are you all done? Or are you one of those people that procrastinates to the very last second?
In general walks of life, I am a procrastinator, very much so. I learned the hard way a couple times. You can't really procrastinate with Christmas gifts, or they just don't show up, and then Right. You look real awkward going into Christmas parties and whatnot. I absolutely cannot stand in a normal year going to going shopping in person. I just do not enjoy being in big crowds like that, full of your average human is the nicest way I will say that. So I generally do my shopping online. But, yeah, I got that done pretty early this year because I, again, figured that a lot of people would be shopping online. So I have everything bought up. The problem is, obviously, our viewers can't see it. You can't even see it. But over there in the corner is the box of all the presents. And there's wrapping paper beside it. I have not wrapped a single thing yet. So that's how my procrastinating's going. I'm waiting to wrap. I have a Christmas party tomorrow as we're recording this, and I haven't wrapped anything from it. So I'm still procrastinating. I just learned where I can procrastinate now.
Do you struggle with Christmas wrapping?
Wrapping? No. There was a span. So it was one of those things where I did it for a while when I was younger, helping out my parents and whatnot. And then there was I left for college. I moved out. I just never really wrapped anything. And I came home to for the holidays and one time a couple years ago, and I went to help wrap things. Me and my sister were. And I just forgot how to do it. And my sister just laid into me, laughing at me, mocking me, and it was like that MJ meme. I took it personal. I was like, this is not acceptable. So I stayed up, figured out how, or I guess re-remembered how to wrap Christmas presents, and I have not forgotten now, because I will not be mocked for not being able to wrap Christmas presents. So I'm good at it now, but for a while it was just a lot of gift bags.
Yeah, I don't have a hard time anymore. I used to. There was just something about folding. Like, the getting enough paper is the easy part. It's the folding and making it look neat with like the serrated paper you have as a result of you not being diligent enough to cut it all the way through, just kind of like gliding the scissors along the wrapping paper just to get it done quickly. So I still have a few more presents to wrap, but most of them have done. So there I can say I got you beat. The Lakers, as we mentioned, just wrapped up their preseason. So I wanted to use today's show as an opportunity to reflect on the preseason. And, you know, as far as preseasons go, the Lakers had a pretty good one. Literally could not have done any better, as they went 4-0, beating the LA Clippers twice and Phoenix Suns twice. I think the thing, just to right off the bat kick things off, the thing that surprised me the most about the preseason games against the Clippers was the fact that the Clippers played their guys both games. Like, the only reason they didn't play Marcus Morris is because he wasn't available. I don't know what I was expecting. I was not expecting Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to play against the likes of, you know, Talen Horton-Tucker and Kyle Kuzma. I should clarify. I did not expect it at the time. I do now.
I was going to say, that seems like a very fair matchup to me. I don't know. Did the Clippers just have two preseason games?
Ooh, that is a good question.
I'm looking it up now. Yeah, they played three games. They played against the Jazz on Thursday, and that was their last preseason game. So it's been really weird. Obviously, I've watched the Pelicans and the Hornets. The Hornets had four preseason games, so that one was close to normal, but the Pelicans only had two preseason games, and they played one last Monday, and then they played on Friday. And in Friday's game, Lonzo Ball played almost 35 minutes. So, like, it's kind of forced upon coaches and teams that they have to play guys actual, like, rotation minutes because, I mean, Stan Van Gundy was talking about this, but, like, if they are going to get comfortable playing 33 minutes a night, like, they have to play while tired to get better conditioning. So it's honestly it's not the norm for what the Lakers did this preseason to actually rest guys and kind of treat it like a quote unquote typical preseason. But I think the Lakers are afforded some of those luxuries because of how deep this team is that we've talked about. And because, as we joked, Talen Horton Tucker looked incredible and kind of made it a little bit easier to sit guys and whatnot. Not that results in the preseason really matter, but
hold on. Well, I'll stop you there. I absolutely think results matter specifically to Talen Horton Tucker in the preseason. Oh, generally speaking, in the NBA, I think that is true, but for
I was about to quiz you on what the preseason record was last year. Because I certainly don't remember it. Yeah. Specific to Talen Horton Tucker, yes, it very much matters, and this is the first step in his Hall of Fame candidacy.
It's nuts because we joke, but Talen Horton Tucker averaged 20.5 points per game on 54.7% shooting from the field and 53.8% shooting from behind the arc. Also averaged 6.5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2.3 steals per game while posting a box plus minus of 14.5, which was a team high. If this is the player the Lakers are getting in the regular season, I think everybody should just go home. Try again next year.
It's funny. Obviously, I watch the games. I watch THT. Even just hearing those stats, like, that was a genuine reaction. You reading off those stats and me just laughing because it still is absolutely insane that he is playing at this level. Everybody's given all the caveats for THT. What I'll say is, at this point, I would be more surprised if he isn't like a contributing part of this team this season, both in terms of having a role and being talented enough to do so. Like, he's shown so much on both ends of the court that he very much has the skills to play rotation minutes. Now, going from playing a lot of third stringers basically in this preseason, I know at times he took on PG and Kawhi. Even then, that was PG and Kawhi in like second gear instead of fourth gear or whatever. When he makes the jump to playing second stringers off the bench, presumably off the bench, Lord knows after this preseason how far he'll rise. But there'll be some growing pains. But I think that's the biggest thing, not just how well Talen Horton Tucker's played. I mean, a lot of people have talked about that. But, I mean, he has forced his way into regular rotation minutes, which I don't think will be too hard to get. We've talked about it a bit. I think he's going to be the fourth guard. You can kind of maneuver the lineups around a bit and however you want with LeBron as your quote unquote point guard. They're going to be flexible throughout the year. I still think LeBron and AD are going to rest a lot more than they did last year, but however it is, this is a really deep team regardless, like including THT, so they can afford rest for guys. I think there'll be a lot of, you know, Schroeder isn't playing because he tweaked his ankle or Caruso's hip maybe he just sits out a regular season game this year because everything's so compact. And those are the spots as well where THT is going to get more minutes. So I think he'll be fine in finding minutes here and there and whatnot and being a part of this team, which, I mean, realistically, did you expect that when we started training camp? What was it, 2.5 weeks ago?
Oh, no. So we're going to talk about THT a lot in this pod just because I feel like we really haven't talked about him since most of the preseason games have happened since we last spoke. But the thing that's interesting with me, or to me, about THT is this is a guy who with the South Bay Lakers last season looked good. Like he looked like a player that was ready to make the jump to the NBA and maybe contribute a few minutes here and there. I did not think he was ready to get playoff minutes. Certainly not in the Western Conference semifinals against the Houston Rockets. I was wrong, clearly. But I think the underrated part of Talen Horton-Tucker's development and kind of this overnight growth that we've seen has done a lot with the fact that I don't know what he did during that NBA suspension, but the first thing that I noticed when the Lakers got back from suspension and, you know, pictures started coming out of, you know, guys working out, getting ready for the season's restart, is Talen Horton-Tucker transformed his body from, you know, where they left off to when they came back. That's what stood out to me the most. And then obviously his body wasn't the only thing he worked out. He also worked on his shot a bit. You know, I guess did some skill work in that hiatus. I don't know how, because everybody upon the season's restart had talked about how it was really hard for them to find a gym, how most of them hadn't touched the ball in a little while. And, you know, even when the season started back up here, that was the case for a lot of people. I do not know what he did, but the Talen Horton-Tucker that everybody watched in the G League last season is not the player we're seeing right now. That gives me a little bit of pause to how much he's producing right now. But this is also the type of development you want to see from a second-year player. Obviously, you know, averaging 25 points per game isn't the type of leap you expect to see. But the fact that he can do that against NBA talent is a really, really promising sign. The biggest question mark to me is what else he can do. You know, because right now it seems his best skill is getting to the basket and scoring the ball, which is a valuable skill to have in the NBA. Because, Jacob, as you know, if you score more points than the other team, typically you win. I want to say almost always.
Yeah, more often than not. I do agree that it'll be interesting to see, because I guess getting to the rim is probably his best NBA skill right now. Or maybe ball handling. It's wild just like almost looking at him, because there's such a, I think Draft Express tweeted this, like nobody has a bigger discrepancy between their height and their wingspan than him.
Right.
Literally looks like one of those like Gumby, like the old cartoon.
Kind of like Mike Wazowski almost.
Yeah, we're like short little body, and then his arms are just stretched forever. So it's kind of weird to see him just dribble the ball. But, like, I would say his ball handling or his ability to get to the rim are his two best skill sets, which, like, what did the Lakers lack most last year? Like, a guard that could be a ball handler and get to the rim.
Right.
That's what made Rondo so valuable in the playoffs. So they obviously got that in Dennis Schroeder this year, so the hole isn't quite as big. But, I mean, right there, right away, you can start to see his value and where he can make an impact on this team, or at least start to. it's going to be real interesting just how they balance all this. Because I mean, also he's challenging a lot of people right now, basically. I was trying to think of a way to say it, but I mean, like, he just like showed out in the preseason, and a lot of these guys who may have come into the season thinking like, oh, I have this spot locked up or
right.
or whatnot. Like, suddenly Talen Horton-Tucker's right there ready to take your minutes. So in theory, it should be a good thing, and it should give guys kind of a kick in the butt to play better, basically. It'll be interesting to see how people react, because that's kind of an added benefit. He's creating more competition, and any coach will tell you that that type of competition is what makes teams better. So mm-hmm. That's kind of an added benefit as well, that he's hungry for this. Like, that's one of the biggest things. You don't go into a lockdown like he did and come out looking the way he did and not have the right mentality. I don't know about you. I did not come out of the lockdown with a better physique than the one I went into it with.
Right.
Which does not seem to be the case with Talen Horton-Tucker. However he did it basically. That if it was just stuff he did on his own, if you're a conspiracy theorist and want to believe in those secret clutch workouts that they had, I don't know how secret they were. I think there were pictures of them at times. Maybe he was a part of those. I don't know. However he did it, like, just kudos to him, man, for making this like a debate, making this interesting, because honestly, I was ready to come into this preseason just coasting in as the champions, just like, this is above us. We don't really care about the preseason.
Right.
And then Talen Horton-Tucker starts balling out, and I'm like, okay, well, suddenly the preseason is the coolest thing ever, and I want it to always be like this, so THT's always this good. So kudos to him for just the work he's put in this short time, in this weird time, and to improve however he's done it in the last year and to force his way into this conversation.
I think the only person that made more of their time in like quarantine or staying at home is probably Taylor Swift.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Listen, her second album is a banger. I wasn't crazy about Folklore, but Evermore, definitely a banger. THT and Taylor Swift are your two winners of the lockdown in that order.
When we get back from the break, we'll talk about a little more about Talen Horton-Tucker and how he and others might have caused some shakeup with Frank Vogel's rotation. So that'll be us when we get back. So last season, Talen Horton-Tucker was maybe the sixth guard on the roster, because you had KCP, Danny Green, Avery Bradley, Rondo, Alex Caruso, and then after them it was like Quinn Cook and THT. This is pre-JR Dion.
I was gonna say somewhere in there is JR Dion and Troy Daniels, some combination of those guys. The Lakers had, I'm doing the math real quick, 11 different guards play for them last year. Zach Norvell played for them for a game, so technically he counts. I mean, when Dion was there and actually playing, like, I think he was ahead of Talen. Honestly, I think J.R. Smith is probably the only guy, like, in terms of talent, he was probably above. But I don't know. J.R. may have gotten more playoff minutes than him. It would be absolutely close.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, he was, like, the eighth guard on the team, honestly.
And now, going into the 2020-21 season, depending on how Frank Vogel plays things, Talen's looking at being like the fourth or fifth guard on the roster, because here's what I'm most interested in going into the season, is what the starting lineup looks like, because I think what the starting lineup looks like will kind of determine what role Talen plays with this team. Against the Suns on Friday, we saw a starting lineup of Schroeder sat. So it was KCP, Kyle Kuzma, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Marc Gasol. If I had to guess, the starting lineup on opening night is going to be Dennis Schroeder, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Marc Gasol. I don't know if it was on this podcast or another podcast, but I've certainly talked about it and wrote about it. I think Wesley Matthews and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope around LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Marc Gasol gives them the opportunity to play more similarly to the style they played last season. It also makes them a little bigger than a starting backcourt of Dennis Schroeder and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, because by all accounts, that is kind of a small backcourt. That being said, if you're rooting for Talen Horton-Tucker to get minutes with this team, I think you have to be rooting for a starting backcourt of Dennis Schroeder and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, because off of the bench, I'm assuming Dennis Schroeder and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, or sorry, Dennis Schroeder and LeBron James are going to get staggered, because that makes sense. I am not a huge fan of having two ball dominant players on the floor at the same time. But that's aside from the fact. Let's just assume that there will be times neither LeBron James or Dennis Schroeder are on the court. If you're talking about a backcourt of Alex Caruso and Wesley Matthews, there's not a whole lot of ball handling and shot creation between the both of them. Don't tell Wesley Matthews that, though, because, I mean, there were some post-ups that he went into in the preseason that I was just like, mind blown. I had not watched a ton of Wesley Matthews, certainly not as closely as I've watched him since he's joined the Lakers. But, yeah, aside from that, the point is, if you're going to look for shot creation outside of Dennis Schroeder and LeBron James in a point guard type role, I think it's going to have to come from Talen Horton-Tucker. And I think THT and Alex Caruso next to each other off of the bench makes as much sense as Dennis Schroeder and Alex Caruso off the bench. So that is my two cents on the rotation, the starting lineup. I would like to hear your thoughts.
I just did a chef's kiss. I don't know if you were looking.
Yeah, I was.
at Caruso and THT together, that would be a ton of fun. Defensively, good luck backup guards, because you have a guy with a 7-1 wingspan, and then Caruso is one of the – probably on the whole roster, one of the smartest guys, one of the best defenders, at least for guards on the whole roster. So good luck opposing backcourts or backup backcourts going up against those two. I don't disagree. I think just mainly the biggest thing is that Schroeder starting is probably the best case scenario for THT to get minutes, because for many of the points you made, THT and Caruso basically fit better together, because Caruso is a point guard, but he doesn't really handle the ball or playmake very well. He does basically everything else pretty well.
Right.
But the areas he's weakest in is the areas we've talked about THT is strongest in, ball handling and getting to the basket, running those pick and rolls, things like that, shot creation. So they can kind of cover each other's weaknesses. It would be a lot like what Rondo and Caruso were last year.
Yes.
Which turned out to be a pretty effective lineup, even during the regular season at times. Like, even for as bad as Rondo was for most of the regular season, that was kind of one of the things that held up the Rondo minutes. So I do think that that's probably your best case scenario. The way I've kind of played it out in my head is that I envision Wes Matthews as more of a three this season. And I don't know if that's where the difference is coming, because I've seen a lot of people like discussing how are we going to get minutes for THT and whatnot. I don't really see it being that hard. I see the four guards we mentioned as your guards, I think Wes or Wesley and Kuzma will be your threes. And I think LeBron, AD, Mark Gasol, and Trez, and Keith, whatever combination, whatever position designation you want to give those guys, aside from Gasol, will be your bigs. When you do it like that, there really isn't a crowding, at least respective to THT, and where he'll get minutes, because the Lakers played two guards and three guards at times a lot last season. So I think he'll find ways to get minutes. I just think he probably more shuffled around what Vogel's rotations were going to be. Mm-hmm. I imagine he probably came in, or maybe he didn't. I will say I came into the preseason assuming Wes was going to be more of like a two and more of a guard, and factor in that way. But if you just kind of shuffle around your thinking, it opens up more room for THT to get minutes. Honestly, it may come at the expense of like a Markieff Morris if you just shift everyone down a bit, which I don't think is a terribly bad thing. Like, Keith was awesome in the playoffs, but he's also a minimum contract guy. So if there's anybody you can kind of afford to lose minutes, it'd be someone like Keith. But I honestly think regardless of who it is that you're taking minutes from, like, everybody is going to play a role in this team. I think this is going to be a really weird year. It's going to very much be a marathon more so than ever. Although at times it's going to feel like a sprint with how many games that they're going to be playing. But I think a lot of coaches are going to take this – I won't say a lot of coaches. I think the Lakers specifically are going to take this slow and rest guys when they need to and basically just use the depth that they have. I think that this lineup was purposely built with a ton of depth. This lineup conceivably can go – 11 guys deep, and really there isn't that much drop-off. So I think that they're going to use that depth throughout this year. There's a lot of back-to-backs. There's a lot of 3 and 4 nights. And just that alone is going to require a lot of players on the roster. So that's not even taking into account any injuries that might come up. Guys are going to test positive for COVID. I don't know if they'll be specifically Lakers, but like, it's going to happen to players throughout the season. So that's going to force guys to miss time too. So you got to prepare for the unpredictable, which really all of this makes THT shining out even better, because that means the Lakers have another piece that they can add to their active rotation. I'm just really excited to see. I don't fault the Lakers for how they approached the preseason. Like I said, I approached it even more nonchalantly than they did. So I'm mainly excited to see the Lakers take games seriously and put THT in those situations, in those lineups, and see him kind of take the next step and how he reacts on, I think, do they open Tuesday? Against the correct. Warriors, I think. Yeah. So I'm just excited to see how is Steph going to handle THT. or that's on Christmas, I believe. Or I don't know. I don't know. They play the Clippers on Tuesday. We'll play the
Clippers on Tuesday and then Mavericks on Christmas.
So how's Luka going to handle THT? yeah, so I'm just excited to see him put into kind of bigger moments, bigger situations. See how he reacts. It's wild that this is like the big talking point because, and again, it should be, but this team is like so much fun. Like I've had a ton of fun watching Montrezl Harrell, which I figured I would, but he is so much energy and he is so much fun to watch, especially offensively. I can't get enough of watching him just kind of fly around and get to the rim and whatnot.
I think the overarching point that you make, and I think will be a theme throughout the season is the types of players that the Lakers need is exactly why the preseason that Talen Horton-Tucker and Kyle Kuzma had is so significant, because there are going to be nights where LeBron James and Anthony Davis aren't going to be available or just aren't going to play as many minutes against, you know, teams that maybe they should be playing against under normal circumstances. There, and it's not just Talen Horton-Tucker and Kyle Kuzma, to be clear. Like, Dennis Schroeder in the preseason didn't look as great as he did with the Thunder, and I think a lot of that has to do with him still figuring out his role, but it's also just him not being able to take the reins the way he did in OKC. Like, he brought up a good point the other day that I think has kind of been not talked about enough, I guess, when it comes to the role he'll play alongside LeBron James. Basically, and during his media availability the other day, he said he's not worried about having to play alongside LeBron James, because he played alongside two point guards in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Chris Paul last season and played off of them. So if you're wondering how Dennis Schroeder looked without the ball in his hands and how he did with playing with other ball dominant players, look no further than, you know, the situation he was in with the Thunder last season. That said, I think Dennis Schroeder thinks that he's the best with the ball in his hands. He's certainly the best when he's going downhill and leading the fast break. Schroeder, THT, and Kuzma, and Montrezl Harrell really are going to be the guys that I think when you're not getting LeBron James and Anthony Davis at their best, at least offensively, they're going to be the guys the Lakers lean on. I think the reps that THT and Kuzma got in the preseason, and you can even throw Harrell in there, because his preseason averages kind of flew under the radar, because, I mean, I don't know for what reason. Maybe the team as a whole was just too much fun. Maybe THT and Kuz were just stuffing the box score for it to go too noticed. But Harrell averaged 12.8 points and 8.3 rebounds in the preseason coming off of the bench, which, as much as I loved having Dwight Howard on the team last season, I mean, those are already better numbers than what Dwight was putting up last season. Different players, different roles, but the fact that Montrez is putting up these types of numbers, again, it's preseason, but I mean, he did it in the regular season last season, I think is an encouraging sign. So if you're a Lakers fan and you're wondering, like, what's this season going to look like when LeBron and AD aren't 100% fit? Like, how is Frank Vogel going to manage all of these rotations? To that, I say, I think they have the talent and the coach to weather the storm that's ahead this season. I wrote about Kyle Kuzma in the preseason he's had. I think he is primed for a bounce back season, not only because he's not going to be playing with Rondo anymore and he's not going to share those ball handling duties with him. But I just think, you know, having a year to play alongside LeBron James and Anthony Davis and having a year to understand what Frank Vogel sees his role is. The other day in post game, Kyle Kuzma said that in his exit interview, Frank Vogel told him straight up, like, hey, if you could become a better shooter on the move, I mean, that would do wonders for your playing time and your role on the team to get your numbers back up. And I think he's absolutely right. And again, preseason stats, take it for what it is. But Kuzma shot 41.7% through four games in the preseason. I certainly haven't seen him shoot as confidently as he shot the ball in the preseason. His stroke looks good. And when he's not getting those wide open threes from the corner, which I think is worth noting, he shot really well from the corners last season. It was from above the break that he struggled. I think he's going to have a great season. I think when LeBron James and Anthony Davis aren't on the court, if Talen Horton-Tucker doesn't keep up this level of production, I think Kyle Kuzma's somebody you can feel very comfortable handing the offense to him. Schroeder and Harrell, I think, are going to be great in that regard. So, yeah, I'm not worried. The preseason more or less answered some of the questions that I wanted it to. And, you know, the point we've talked about in this show also raised some questions about where guys like THT are going to fit in the roster and where minutes are going to come from.
I would say, going back a bit to speaking on Kuzma, I haven't really thought about it. I don't know if this is a hot take. I'm kind of forming it on the spot, but he probably had the second best preseason of any Laker.
Yes, correct.
I've been really impressed with what he's done offensively. He proved he could hang in the playoffs, at least the majority of the way, for the Lakers, especially defensively. As you mentioned, Vogel basically telling him to shoot better, basically a simplified version of it. Hopefully that lasts. The problem is it seems he gets into his own head at time and starts changing his shot when he has a bad game or two. Hopefully that lasts, because he would be exceedingly valuable. What's the one biggest thing you're worried about after this preseason for the Lakers?
Well, they shot the ball really, really well. And the reason they shot the ball well is because guys that aren't typically good shooters shot the ball well. As I mentioned, Kyle Kuzma shot 41.7% from three. Talen Horton-Tucker shot 53.8% from three. So I think, one, I do not expect the Lakers to shoot an NBA high 50% from three on 25.5 attempts.
That is a hot take.
I want to get that out of the way right now. I guess Kuz and Talen not shooting anywhere near where they're shooting right now. I guess I'd give Talen a little leeway if he didn't shoot 53.8% from three. Ultimately, it's about where the minutes are going to come from. I'd hate to see Alex Caruso's minutes get eaten into as a result of Talen Horton-Tucker's breakout, because I think the easiest solution and easiest minutes to take from, to a point you made earlier, are the veterans minimum guys. I think the fact that Talen Horton-Tucker and Kyle Kuzma had the preseasons that they did might make it a little bit easier for Frank Vogel to go up to both Wesley Matthews and Markieff Morris and say, hey, you guys might not play as big of a role as you envisioned, because these guys, who by all accounts are going to be bigger parts of our future, because I mean, both of them will be restricted free agents next summer, because for some whatever goddamn reason, the Lakers just couldn't sign Quinn Cook to a veterans minimum contract. So the Lakers could give Talen Horton-Tucker that third year in his rookie contract, but I digress. I think if you're the Lakers in the immediate and distant future, Talen Horton-Tucker and Kyle Kuzma are the two guys you want to maximize, whether it's for, a sign and trade or a long-term contract, however they view them. Those are the guys you want to get going and get going fast to see what their value is on the market and how they fit with LeBron James and Anthony Davis for. I don't know if people know this, but Anthony Davis will be in a Lakers uniform for the next 5 years, LeBron James for the next three, whatever. Not a big deal. I don't know. I think if I had to pick two things that I'm a little concerned with, it's three-point shooting and how Frank Vogel's going to, solve this puzzle, because it is ultimately a puzzle that I don't know if even he was prepared to solve.
I could see some of those conversations you mentioned, I think they would be less like you're going to need to take a bigger or a lesser role. I think it would be more like, hey, pick it up because these guys are performing at a higher level. I think this is, I mean, I don't think this is a hot take. This is a team that's playing for a title. Whoever's playing best is going to get the minutes regardless of contract status, age, whatever. If you're playing well, you get the minutes. So I'm not too worried about that. I would say one of the things I'm most worried about, there isn't a lot I'm worried about from this preseason. First off, I think the Lakers showed a lot of the reasons why I would still probably have them a tier above everyone else in the NBA. I think they're in a tier of their own, basically. If I had to pick one thing, I'm a little concerned about Dennis Schroeder because he didn't play all that great, I don't think, in the preseason. Albeit, he only played 2 games. Excuse me. Only played 48 minutes. That feels almost like nitpicking, though, which we kind of had to do because overall it was a pretty good preseason. That would be the one thing. He only attempted 2 3-pointers, so we can't really be certain whether his 3-point shot from last season is still around. But again, that's kind of picking nits. And even if I'm worried about Dennis Schroeder and he doesn't play well, I mean, suddenly you have THT to take some of those minutes. So if I had to pick one thing, I think that would be the main thing, just because he's going to want a big role with this team and probably deserves one.
Yeah.
Especially if we're basing it off last season. So he needs to play well. Although I'm sure you are chomping at the bit for possible trade machine scenarios where you could ship off Dennis Schroeder. And what's the trade deadline this year? The March trade deadline?
Yeah. I texted in our Silver Screen and Roll Slack the other day, and we'll end the show on this because I don't want to anger you too much. but I texted in the Silver Screen and Roll Slack the other day that I just said the month is February, because this is when I thought the trade deadline was going to be February. I said, the month is February. Talen Horton-Tucker has established himself as the Lakers' starting point guard. Dennis Schroeder is disgruntled and wants out. What do the Lakers do? And honestly, that night when I sent that, I started looking at trade packages.
Oh my God.
For Dennis Schroeder and Kyle Kuzma. And to be fair, I put it down. I said, this is getting out of hand. We're in the preseason and I'm already doing this. So I promise, so long as the Lakers don't start the season off like 0-15, I will not be talking about trade scenarios until March. And even then, if they're playing well enough, you know, you don't need to make a trade just to make a trade. I think they're fine just the way they are. That's my official stance.
I don't believe you for a second. I will not talk about it.
I won't talk about it on the podcast. I won't do it publicly.
Okay. Yeah. And just for the record, when he sent that in the Slack, I immediately replied with, you just think of hypotheticals so that you have a big Laker contract to trade, because that's basically the only big Laker contract the team could trade this year. So, yeah, I assume you just think of hypotheticals that can lead to you spending the next few months. You need somebody to replace the Danny Green-sized hole in your trade machine heart, and Schroeder is the natural replacement. So I don't blame you. But, yeah, don't make any promises you're not going to talk about trades, because I expect after 2 bad Dennis Schroeder games that we'll have some wild trade dropped into the Slack, some 3-team trade where we get Oladipo or something.
Well, that is us. That is it for us. We will not be back until next Sunday. So for all of our listeners that celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas. Jacob, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. It's
you as well, bud.
Funny because I got you a Christmas present last year that did not fit you, and then
it's still in my closet.
Somewhere along the lines, we were like, okay, well, we're going to return this. I'll send you this. You can send, you can, you know, send it back and get the right size. Neither of us did our part. So you just have a shirt that does not fit you in your closet. I'm sorry.
It's a goal shirt. Everybody has one. I'll eventually get down to that size and I'll wear it on a podcast some night.
But I promise if I ever draw you in a Secret Santa again, I assure you, I will get something to you. Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.